Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Aren't you glad? I'm glad you're here already. I'll tell you what, the 9:30, the 11 o'clock ministered to me. I mean, just what God's doing in my life right now. I'll tell you, I've been talking to Pastor Sandy that I'm hearing God, and I don't know that it's clearer or crisper. I think it is, but it's just things that God's showing me, and a couple of more little warnings that God gave me, and it's like, oh my gosh, and I'm so grateful of it, because man, it wasn't going to be a train wreck in my life, but it was going to cause some emotional hangups and some things. At least emotional energy would have been spent, but because of the warning God gave me, I didn't have to expend it. Man, how many of you guys know that's a good day? Man, how many of you guys know that when we get out in front of our emotions, I'm an emotional man, but I'll just tell you, I don't want my emotions ruling me, and that's a bad day because, you know, I mean, they go wake up that lost, dead man of rage that used to be in me, and that's, you don't want him around. I don't want him around. I like to be the gentle, kind Bill Shear. I like to be I think gentle, kind would be two incredible ways to describe it. But just what God's doing in my life, I'm so appreciative. And you know, we've got some people in town, and I want you to hear from them. But Sherwood Press Taylor and Brooklyn Marie Taylor here. You guys come up here and hey. And I'll just tell you, what's great about this is only a handful of preachers that I've found out that have Super Bowl champion kin. So we do. So you guys are a part of the family here. So welcome, Press and Brooklyn, to the stage today.
I guess we just wanted to thank you guys. Just throughout the whole playoff run, getting to the Super Bowl and all that, just the love and support that we felt from our Guts family here. It was overwhelming for us, but it makes it so much more fun for us that we're getting videos of people having watch parties, watching the Eagles, when I assume there weren't a ton of Eagles fans in here 5 years ago. So now people wearing their Eagles hats and sending us pictures and sending us texts and all that, it means the world to us, and we just wanted to thank you guys and appreciate and tell you that we appreciate you guys. Really, I kind of just want to give you a background into our story and my story specifically with football. I was a graduate assistant here at the University of Tulsa working with the football team 6 or 7 years ago and loving it, really. I was in Tulsa. I started attending Guts, Dayton, Brooklyn, coaching football. We're winning. Life is good. All of a sudden, one February, I get a call from Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's just accepted the job with the Philadelphia Eagles and called me out of the blue and asked if I wanted to join the staff. So I jump on a plane. I'm living in Philadelphia the next week. We go through three seasons, good and bad, ups and downs, and eventually that staff gets fired. Well, in our profession, we all have our contracts, but we're really tied to the head coach. So when the head coach gets fired, typically the whole staff's wiped out. The next staff comes in and starts over. So there's a lot of unsure events and time during that as that goes on. So we're kind of standing in faith that the right door will open, whether that's to stay in Philadelphia like we hope, we really enjoy our time there, or maybe we go somewhere else with the coach that had been fired and got a job elsewhere, really across the country. So we're trying to figure out what the next step is, but just believing that we're going to hear from God in that time. Get an opportunity to meet with the new head coach. His name's Doug Peterson. I did not know Doug from anybody else before that. Had a chance to sit in with him, meet him. He asked me, what have you been doing? What are your hopes for your career? We have a 15-minute conversation, and he said at the end of it, he says, well, I'm going to keep you on staff, and we'll go from there. So that the end of that week, they announce his first coaching staff, and really we just get an email. Brooklyn and I are looking at it, and I've had a title promotion. So without him even saying anything.
No, a friend of his texted him a screenshot on Twitter that said the staff that Doug Peterson had hired, and it said assistant quarterback.
Hey, wait, before they go any further, I want to let you guys know.
Now you know where I get
it. I want to let you guys know. Last night, Brooklyn said, I told him, I said, I'm gonna call you up, just tell a little of your story. And Brooklyn said, okay, that's great. I'm going to let Press talk. I'm really not going to. So go ahead.
Go ahead. So anyways, we find out that there's a title promotion. So we go through that first year. We draft a rookie quarterback. He's a great player. He shows signs of being a good player or being
Carson
a great
Wentz.
Player. Carson Wentz. And really, we have a good year. Our quarterback plays well for a young kid. We go through some struggles, obviously, but we have a good coaching staff, and our quarterback coach at the time has an opportunity to interview for a job to become an offense coordinator. So we're believing that he'll get
we're
that
pumped.
Opportunity. We're pumped. We're excited. We're believing he's going to get that opportunity, and I'll be able to become the quarterback coach, and life will be good. We're working with quarterbacks. We're young, and everything's going well. Well, the Eagles come through and block him. As long as we have our own contracts, they have the right to say, no, we're going to keep you under contract. You can't go anywhere else. So they block his opportunity for promotion. Well,
which blocks us.
Underneath that, yeah, that blocks us as well. So we're a little hurt. We were believing that this would happen, but we make the stand there that we're going to stand in faith. We're going to believe that there's going to be an opportunity next season. So we kind of go through the year. We're having a great year. Things are going really good. We're winning a bunch of games, and his name's kind of getting out there more and more. And really, he starts getting an opportunity. He gets talked about to be a head coach in the NFL, which is great. He's skipping a step. Typically, it goes quarterback coach, offense coordinator, head coach. Well, he's a quarterback coach interviewing to be a head coach. So kind of we're feeling like we're ahead of track here, right? And we're moving quickly. So there's an opportunity that opens. He gets a chance to interview. We're believing he's going to get this job. Things are going to work out great. We're named the quarterback coach following that interview there. Well, ends up he did not get the job. They hire somebody else.
And this is all happening once we knew we were in the playoffs.
Yeah, this is all
so
the
this
first
point,
week of January.
You know, he works crazy hours. They're in by 6, done by 10 p.m., so he's exhausted, working crazy hours. I'm at home, you know, checking Twitter to see who's hiring who and figuring out what needs to happen so that this person here goes here, so then maybe he gets this or maybe that person. So then, you know, you play all those scenarios out all while the excitement of the playoffs. We knew we were hosting a home game. Carson, the quarterback who was potentially going to be the MVP of the season, tears his ACL. We're actually in the game that he tears it. He's coaching against his brother who coaches at the LA Rams. Well, we end up beating them, you know, and we know we're in the playoffs, but we don't have our potentially best player, right. I would say. I mean, this is all my opinion. But so we're excited for the season, but we kind of think it's over at that point. At least I do. Because I'm like, well, we don't have our quarterback. Like, we're good, but are we good enough to actually beat all of these teams that are, you know, really good too? So right. Tell them about that.
So we're going. Just set it up for me. So we're in the playoffs. We're hosting a playoff game. Well, the national media has ranked us as the worst number one seed in NFL history. There's no chance we win a game, even though it's at home. Playing with the backup quarterback, playing with all these other guys that are replacing injured players. And sure enough, we beat the Atlanta Falcons at home. We're going to the next round of the playoffs. And all the while, these interviews are happening. There's communications about job opportunities for all the teams that are out of the league. Some teams have fired their coaches. They're talking about who they're going to hire after that. Well, we find out that our quarterback coach did not get the first opportunity interviewed for. So we're hurt. We're crushed. We were believing for something. And then he interviews for another one. Doesn't get that one either. And then we end up having a conversation with somebody that says, hey, it's probably not going to work this way, but, you know, next year it'll be a great chance for you. So at the time, I'm talking to Brooklyn on the way home, and we've become super invested in this. Now, we're in the middle of a Super Bowl run, so we're winning games. Everybody's excited, but we have something going on underneath that we're believing for, and everything in our flesh is telling us this is not going to work out. Wait another year.
Honestly, I had kind of told myself, okay, we're not getting it. We as in him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, another year, God? Like, I mean, it's on the outside looking in, he's not even 30 at this point. He's working in the NFL. He gets to be on the, you know, we don't know at this time, but the Super Bowl winning team. So be thankful. And we are. We're super grateful. But at the same time, we know God's favors on our life. We know that he opens doors that no man can close. And we've been believing for this. I mean, he talked about this in the 9:30, but every January is usually the time in his career where there's a lot of change and a lot of firing and a lot of rehires. And it's exciting. But at our church here, we do the January fast to kick off the year. And we're always so thankful that it hits at that time. Because for us personally, we're already believing for something to happen. So when this happens and he calls and he's like, you know, I don't think he got it. But, you know, we're not going to worry about that. And that's where I had to kind of get a gut check where I know God's word, but I still have emotions and I still have hope that he's going to, you know, be rewarded for all of his hard work. And I remember apologizing to him because I was like, I let the emotions get really in the way. I'm not enjoying this amazing playoff run. I'm not enjoying the fact that you're even considered the next option. I'm just worried about what's going to happen, and I'm putting my hope in this guy that's maybe not going to get hired by another team. Why am I hoping for this guy and not God? Not worrying about what is going to happen and knowing God's going to take care of it. So that was a cool moment for us in our marriage, just because we're, you know, not newlyweds, but we're within the 3 years of getting married, we just have learned to come into agreement. And that's something that my parents have really taught us, and from stage, that it's so important that you, as a wife and husband, come into agreement and decide that no matter what, no matter who gets hired and who gets fired, our hope is not in that. Our hope is in God, and that he's going to open a door. He's going to make a way where there is no way. And that's something that he stood firm in the whole situation while I'm checking social media hoping that someone gets fired. So it was cool for us, because, and that's something we wanted to share from stage, that it's all excitement on social media, and it's all this amazing, you know, winning the Super Bowl and seeing all of these amazing guys on our staff and team, you know, giving glory to God. I mean, that's the cool thing, too, is we're linking arms with men that serve and honor the Lord and give that glory to him. And it's cool that the head coach, the MVP quarterback, or not MVP, but Carson Wentz, our backup quarterback, I mean, all the big-name players all love God. And not just on the surface. It's not just like, thank you, Jesus. It's like they serve and honor and love God. They're committed to the church that we're at, and they are just amazing men. So we're excited to be a part of that. But the behind the scenes, it was not fun, and it was not, you know, all the excitement that you see, and it is a grind. It was a huge grind. So
it was a fun time for our team, but it was a little bit frustrating for us personally in our career, just because I think doors seemed open that maybe we weren't ready to step through, or however it was. But we're talking one time, and I'm telling her, hey, this opportunity didn't work out for this guy. Looks like it'll be another year. And we just kind of start laughing that we've let this doubt creep in, but really that we ever even believed it was going to be the first plan. Plan A was going to work out perfectly. He's going to go here, we're going to go here, it works out great. But we start laughing that we even started to believe in doubt as well, that we let doubt in, that we still believe, even though it looks like nothing's happening, that God's going to open doors no man can close. And that's the one we're going to know, we're going to step through. We're putting ourselves in a position to know this is our opportunity right here. So we just start laughing because it's still going to work out. It doesn't look like it's going to work out, but we're believing we're going from glory to glory no matter what the devil presents in front of us.
So at this point, we're going into the NFC Championship. We're playing against the Vikings. I don't know if Tom's in the room, but big Vikings fan. And we're hosting them at home, and I know we were the underdog the whole time. So tell them about that one.
Yeah, I mean, really, that was one of the most unbelievable games I've been a part of, because they're one of the top defenses in the league. They've shut everybody down, and we have a backup quarterback. We're still the worst number one seed in history, and we come out and the game's over by halftime. We're winning by 30 at halftime. It was a blowout from the get-go, and we're having to process, okay, now we're going to the Super Bowl, which was just unbelievable for us.
They let the families on the field. I know Pastor Bill's shared this, but they let us run to the husbands and, you know, congratulate them and, you know, on that field. And I remember after, you know, the excitement had kind of hit, we were like, not only are we going to the Super Bowl, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, that was the moment I think it hit, where it's like, and that's something that we know here at this church, is we win. I mean, it's not just, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl, we're going to win it. I mean, I remember thinking, holy cow, like, we aren't just going, we're going to win. And it's cool just to think that the foundation that I've learned at this church and he's been raised in at this church, it's like, we are called to win. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors, and it's cool to put that in every avenue, every part of our life, every season.
And really, you fast forward to that Super Bowl week, and it's exciting, it's fun. And if you ever want to stand in faith, then hold on to a two-point lead with Tom Brady having the ball in the fourth quarter. That is, that tests my faith right there, but God delivered just like he did. So we win the Super Bowl, we get back to Philadelphia, there's a parade for us, everything's great. And then we go that night, we have some friends over to have dinner, kind of just celebrate, kind of relax in the year with some friends around. And I get a call from our head coach. Says, hey, our quarterback coach is taking an opportunity to be an offense coordinator with the Vikings. And so he's going to go there. I'm going to make you the quarterback coach. So it works out, everything that we'd been believing for. Thank you. So at the time, the rumor was, or earlier in the season, the rumor was this guy's going to be the coordinator. It's all done. There's no opportunities left. And then, of course, the Super Bowl plays out. We end up winning. God opens a door that we are known to, we know we have to step through right there. The opportunity is right there. And so really it just worked for us to stand in faith, to believe that God's going to provide an opportunity that we're going to be ready for, and we're going to know that's the opportunity for us.
And the cool thing, too, is in our own strength, we would have picked it last year, which would have been awesome. But God delivered not only with his position, his promotion, but also to get to coach, you know, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league, and then to win the Super Bowl and be the quarterback's coach of that team. So it's just cool because it's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And that's what God has designed for all of us. And I think that's why it's so important that we're connected here in community. He's told us, you know, told y'all that we enjoyed this for us, but because we had y'all to celebrate with, because we had people celebrating with us. And I think that's so important not to do life alone and to know that here you speak the word and it delivers. And we're just excited to celebrate that with y'all today.
We're excited and thankful. Thank you guys for everything.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Well, and oh, and Press's family's here. You guys want to stand? We'll just welcome you here. Well, what's hard is at 9:30, it's funny because Pastor Sandy, when I sat down, said, Bill, you need to connect the message with what they said. I was like, okay, I'll try to do that a little better this time. And I say that to transition that I probably won't, okay? So you get what you get today. But listen, you're leaving here better. You know, earlier I said that I'm hearing God's voice in a completely different way. Just I see things turning in my life and I see things happening. And I want you to know the way God does things is it doesn't just happen to the leader. It doesn't just happen to one person. It happens to everyone. I want you to expect that in your life. I want you to expect it with your kids. Man, when you lay your kids down, even if they're babies or toddlers, you lay your kids down. Man, you put your hands on them and say, God, I thank you that my son hears your voice and another voice. He's going to follow yours, God, not another one. See, because we have to understand, we know the world's broken. We can't count on the world. Quit looking at the news for your hope. Quit looking for situations or circumstances politically or around nationally or even in the world. Don't look at that. Man, our only hope is God through in his son Jesus. See, the cycle or the process of our doctrine, it's real simple. It comes in two parts. Number one is we're saved by grace. The progression of our lives happens because God saved us by his power, his supernatural ability, his favor, his unmerited. We don't deserve the favor that we have. Man, Press in Brooklyn, as hard as Press works, he doesn't deserve the favor. God has just favored him. God's favor, I see it on Taylor and Cassie's life, that on Kennedy's life, that man, God's favor's on their life. And let me just tell you, man, if there's one thing as a parent you want, it's God's favor on your kids and your grandchildren's lives. See, so God saves us by grace. It's through our faith. But it's nothing that we can do. It's what he's done. That's number one. Number two is that every day we receive his word. That's how this is meant. See, the Old Testament's a type and shadow of what we have. The type and shadow is manna. Manna came every single day. People couldn't live on yesterday's or last week's manna. They couldn't try to store it up. It would spoil. Let me tell you, God's word's very similar to that. It doesn't spoil, but listen, we don't live on yesterday's word. I don't want to live on the revelation that I got 30 or 35 years ago. And let me tell you, my life, the first few years as a Christian, was just this track of revelation. I mean, God just opened things up in my heart and opened things up in my life where it's like, my goodness, I'm a believer. See, because let me tell you, write this down. Doubt is relentless. But we don't receive it. We don't receive this doubt. Because doubt is going to be relentless. It's how it's what the enemy's going to try to get you to do. Is he's sending fiery darts of thoughts into your mind to get you to focus on the things that cause doubt. Well, let me tell you, doubt's relentless. But let me tell you, God's word's daily. It's daily bread that God gives us. It's a daily word. God's word, it saves our souls. See, and really this power, this supernatural ability, this favor that we call God's grace is dispensed by us simply receiving his word. You hearing God's word in these services dispenses his power into your life. And see, we have to understand that. But it's not good enough just for you to be here and listen. Because what James writes is, we become forgetful hearers. He said, you show me your faith by what you say. I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. And it's important for us to speak this. Our faith is very verbal. But let me tell you, the world's looking for actions, that our lives truly follow the track that we profess to believe. See, we've got to be believers. We've got to be people. And let me just tell you, it is not complex. It's so very simple. God speaks and we hear. God speaks and we respond. Man, God's word speaks to us, it comes alive to us, and we react and respond accordingly. See, there's so many things in my life that God, after all these years, since 1979, that God's still dealing with in my life. And you know why? Because God loves me. God deals with you because he loves you. God chastises you because he loves you. God brings correction in my life because he loves me. God uses people. Man, I told Sandy, I got to this point where it's like, Sandy, man, the correction in my life is overwhelming. And I heard myself say that. It's like, hey, that's a weak position to take. And I'm better than that. That's what I was thinking. But you know what? Whom God loves, he corrects. God's going to use people. God's going to use people to bring correction in our lives. He wants us corrected. Why? Because he wants us to be, listen, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Man, I'll take that kind of correction, won't you? Man, because let me tell you, with that comes incredible hope into our lives. We can't be forgetful hearers. If I'm not saying this and then doing this, I'm going to forget it. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to love my brother as myself. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to visit people. See, I think the church in 2018 has lost that. A lot of it we can blame on social media, we can blame it on Facebook, we can blame it on the internet, whatever else we want to blame it on. But the bottom line is we've got to be doers of the word, is what James said. And not just hearers of the word, we've got to be doers. Man, the Bible talks about our visits. Man, that we've got to visit people. Man, that means a phone call, a text, maybe drop by their house and ring the doorbell with a donut. See, it's all really simple. See, and we have to understand that we can be the interceptors in the fate of people's lives to keep them on track with God. See, I say this a lot. It's really hard for people to sin while they're in church. Maybe some Vikings or some Patriot fans have sinned in here today because you had to hear about the Eagles so much. But you know what? It's not about the Eagles. For me, I'm just telling you, it's about family. That's what it's about. And there's people that we need to visit. There's people that we need to see that need to hear these words. You'll live and not die. You'll fulfill God's purpose. Let me tell you why you're sitting right there, son. Because God's hands in your life. There's a call on your life. See, I can communicate to a lot of people. But you can communicate to more people than I can. Don't let people despise your youth. That's what Paul told Timothy. Don't let them say you're too young. You're a pup, man. You're not full grown yet. But you know, the bottom line is what Paul told Timothy, don't let people despise that. I'll just tell you, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to communicate hope to as many people as I can. And I'll tell you why. Life is hopeless without Jesus. You know, we like to say it. You know, we speak at funerals and it's like, I've spoken at funerals where I had no idea where that person went, heaven or hell. Didn't know them. Really, I've preached at funerals where there's probably no way. But you know what? It gives me an opportunity to provide hope for people that are there. But you know what? What if you lived your life that way? What if every day you heard a eulogy of your life, or it's like, you know, you could have done better. You know, you made things more difficult than you should have. You know, the basic things. I see my friend Corey Dittemore back there. Let me tell you, he brings things. Every time I talk to him about the faith, you know what he brings it to? A simple, boils it down to a simple, it's like, oh my gosh, I can understand it. It's just simple. It's a simple life. Somebody's wronged you, forgive them. Man, somebody struck you, turn the other cheek. I don't want to. I know, I don't either. But you know what? That's what faith brings for us, is discipline. You know all discipline is? Discipline is just doing something you don't want to do because you know it's the right thing to do. And there's so much of life I don't want to do. I don't want to prepare like I have to. Let me just tell you, this was an easy, I used to say this was such an easy place to preach because people were so receptive. And you know what else? The first few years, people didn't know anything. So I could get up and say almost whatever I wanted to say about Jesus, and it was a novel idea to them. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is world-changing. Well, now, this isn't just babies in Christ anymore. It isn't just toddlers. Man, there's a pulpit Sky Took has young adult believers, has mature believers. Well, now, you know what? I've still got to bring the bread of life. But you know what? Some of it's got to be cut up real small for people. Some of it might even have to be pureed. People don't have their teeth to chew it up yet. But then there's other people, man, they want the meat of God's word. See, and understand that, but let me just tell you, if you're in that place where you're looking for the meat of God's word, most of it is provided by your personal time in the word and with God. And then guess what? When you get to that place where it's your personal time in the word and with God in prayer, then you know what? Now you turn and you begin to teach it yourself. See, that's what God's looking for. God's not looking for a ministry just with a bunch of doers. God's looking for leaders of doers. Man, this church has high-level doers in it. Man, doers of the word, doers of the work, doers of ministry, doing the work of evangelists. But let me tell you, we don't stop there. We become leaders of high-level doers. That's how you change the world. That's how this becomes the multiplication of the kingdom comes into effect when we become leaders in it, in word and deed. That means in what we're saying and in what we're doing, how we're living this. We're not just hearers, we're doers of the word. Man, we are so quick to forgive, it's scary. Man, people, you allow that to happen in your life, you become the forgiver God's called you to be. People around you are going, my gosh, how do you do that? How did you not even break stride? I've seen people take hits like that and it took them down. It didn't even wing you. That's when you know this is alive on the inside of you. People aren't going to stop wronging you. Man, we've got to have tender hearts and alligator hides, man. Man, we've got to be people that we have to have rhino hide. We've got to know that it's coming. See, in this church, what we want to do is we want to help you build a foundation in your life that when that storm hits you, and it rains on the just and the unjust alike, but here's the hope. What you're going through right now is not going to take you down. Everybody say, it's not going to take me down. It's not even going to wing me. I won't break stride because I run as one who wins. You see, it's that simple. See, that causes growth on the inside of you now. And that's all God wants. God wants you growing. But let me tell you what happens with growth is change. Man, you grow out of things. Mama's not there to tuck you in every day. No, you know what? Why? Because the visitation that God's made in my life causes me to have a ministry of visitation. Man, everybody here can do that. We all know people going through something. Let me tell you, if you don't, just introduce yourself to the very next person you see. And they're going through something. In my experience, when you let people have an opportunity to talk about themselves, they will let you know. And then you know what? God's word comes alive on the inside of you because people need help. We don't want people to just make contact with Jesus. We want to connect them with Jesus. Does that make sense, son? We want to connect them with Jesus. Man, where there's that connection. And this church is full of connectors. The next 3 weeks, I'm going to preach on the parables of the sheep, coin, and son. And it's going to lead us into Easter. And I'm believing God. I talked to Brooklyn the week of the Super Bowl. She said, "Dad, what do you think? What do you think?" I said, Eagles are going to win. There's no chance they won't win. And I started saying that enough that I like to hear myself say it. So anybody asks me, I tell them. "Oh, what about Nick Foles? What if he has a bad game?" I said, "There's no chance Nick Foles will have a bad game." They're looking at me like I know something. But you know what? I know he lives for God. I know he honors God. The week before the Super Bowl, let me tell you, the only doubt I had is the week before the Super Bowl, I found out Tom Brady goes to a church in Boston. I'm like, oh. I don't want him to go to a lame church, a watered-down church. Maybe just for this week he could. But I'll tell you, we got to the hotel, and the offensive line coach's family, who are incredible people, some of our favorite people, huh, Sandy? Man, we see them at all the games. They love Teal, our grandbaby. They'll hug us, they greet us. And this woman came and goes, "Oh, Reverend." I said, "Yeah." She said, I said, no, stop it. "I guarantee a win." She goes, don't say that. Superstitious like that. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Here, let me put it another way. Eagles are going to win. I'm absolutely sure of it. I guarantee it. Don't say that. After the game, she came running up to me and jumped and hugged me. I'll tell you, that's the world that we can reach. You're going to win. I'll tell you, franchise, you're going to win. In the name of Jesus, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, the world's broken, the devil's a liar, and Jesus on the inside of you, and that victory's on the inside of you. And let me just tell you what the word of the Lord is for you today. You're a trophy of Christ's victory. That's who you are.